Chapter 10. For the first time in Shikamaru's life, sleep won't come. Everyone else is sacked out, quiet and still, and the camp is dark and perfectly silent. Even having to bed down on bare ground normally doesn't bother Shikamaru too much. But dawn is breaking and he's only caught a few moments of rest. Every other moment has been spent turning over Aoba's words, Asuma's, the way Kiba reacted, the memory of teams 7 and 8 limping back to Konoha after their mission, the note to Genma, Genma's reaction. There's too much, but also not enough. It feels a little like trying to sort through a pile of puzzle pieces, only to realize that there's not one or two puzzles in the pile, but dozens, just similar enough that everything looks alike. Shikamaru knows he's good at working things out, at planning moves and making tactical decisions. But this is something entirely different and 1,000 times more frustrating. Groaning inwardly, he finally gives up on sleep and sits up, wondering why it's chosen now of all times to betray him. His head still aches, and he can feel the point where Kiba headbutted him like a throbbing bruise. But even closing his eyes can't stop the whirl of his thoughts, obsessive and caught up in the mystery. Shikamaru's heard his father complain about insomnia before, but he never realized it can feel like this, a river in a flood that he can't dam up. There's no use staying where he is, likely disturbing the rest of them. Shikamaru hauls himself to his feet, pulling a twig from his hair, and carefully picks his way to the edge of the camp, then past the circle of bushes edging the island. It's still dark, the air cool, and he rubs a hand over his arms, then shakes himself and checks the far shore. He can't see anyone, and Aoba's crows are still in the trees, quiet and watchful. Ino would tell him to go train. Choji would remind him to get breakfast. All Shikamaru wants to do is make his brain go quiet for a little while, and preferably get some answers, but he doesn't know how. The only person who knows for certain what happened with Danzo that night is Kiba, and judging by his reaction to Shikamaru and the rest of the team yesterday, he's not about to sit down and spill his problems to a person he used to know, but Shikamaru can't sleep because of what he knows. And what Aoba said yesterday about trauma as driving force, what if that's true? What if Kiba really is being pushed by something terrible that happened to him? Shikamaru can't imagine that he'd rest any easier, honestly. And odds are, the Akatsuki team is staying at the inn up ahead. If Shikamaru goes there, if he scouts it out, maybe finds some clues as to Kiba's mental state, that might help him work things out. People tend to give away more than they know, and Shikamaru can probably pick up on hints Kiba doesn't even mean to drop. Or, if Kiba isn't there, any information he can get on one of the other members would be helpful. Konoha doesn't have pretty much any information on Akatsuki, and even little things can help in the long run. Decided, Shikamaru tugs his chunin vest a little straighter and glances up at one of the crows. "Tell Aoba I've gone to scout when he wakes up," he says, and the bird cocks its head, then bobs in agreement. Relieved, Shikamaru nods back, then steps out onto the water of the lake and hurries across. The open expanse an itch at the back of his neck, uncomfortable when there could be eyes on him, and it makes him quicker in a way even Asuma at his heels has never managed. Shikamaru wonders, just a little, what his team would say if they were here. Nothing complimentary, probably, and he can't help but agree with them. Deep down in a dark, frustrated place, he didn't see before, didn't realize. He's supposed to be a genius, but the reality of being a shinobi, having lives depending on him, having to make choices and sacrifices, having to fight or die, never made an impact before. He just hadn't understood. Again, he thinks of Kiba, scar slanting across his clan markings, hair grown long and shaggy around his face. Not the Genin he knew, not at all, and he wonders if Kiba had his own realization. Not the same, but Inuzuka think as a pack, one part of a whole. They're better at teamwork than most, don't tend to go off on their own, follow orders well. They're used to existing as cogs in a greater mechanism, and have been since long before Konoha was even a thought. For Kiba to keep a secret like what Danzo was doing to him, for him to hide that and not ask for help and then run, what kind of understanding did he come to? That no one was going to help him, that no one could. Shikamaru feels sick just thinking it. Wants to stop and gag and put his head between his knees again. But he forces himself to keep moving, to leap from the bank to the tree line. It would be so much easier to stop, to go back to camp, to lie down and shut his eyes and try for sleep again. But Shikamaru can't get the image of Kiba walking out of the hollow to leave his mind. The blonde had slung an arm over his shoulder, and the unkillable man had elbowed him playfully, and they'd been laughing and joking and a team. Kiba found himself a new team. Those three and the woman who was with him when Teams 7 and 8 met him, the other Akatsuki members. They're his new team. He abandoned Konoha, probably thinking that no one would save him, no one would help him, and he was right. As soon as people found out what he'd done, he was labeled a missing nin. And now the only people who will take him are other missing nin, cold and cruel and insane. Shikamaru doesn't ever want to think that Kiba fits in with them, but what if he does? Gritting his teeth, Shikamaru forces himself to pause, high up in an oak tree. He's close to the inn, but he needs to be careful about this. Aoba very deliberately made it look like most of their squad had died. If Shikamaru ruins that ruse, Akatsuki might decide to hunt them down. As they are now, they won't survive something like that. So he can't leave traces, and he'll have to be careful of the wind's direction, given Kiba's nose. If any of the others have sensor abilities, he's probably screwed. But he doesn't think they do. Anko was able to take them by surprise before, and so was Aoba, arriving late to the fight. So that's not a problem, but Kiba will be. A tracker's nose and an unparalleled awareness of the scents around him won't be easy to fool without preparation. Shikamaru is downwind right now, at least, and hidden in the trees. The inn is up ahead, not completely ringed by forest, but there's enough cover that Shikamaru won't be obvious without somebody actually looking for him. And if the Akatsuki members are sure that his squad is dead, that's another advantage. He can do this. He'll just have to be careful. Once, Shikamaru would have said he was good at careful. But now, after yesterday, he's not entirely sure. Settling on his heels, he breathes out, scanning the front of the building. There are shadows moving in a few of the rooms, people rising, a woman in an apron sweeping the stone of the entrance. Shikamaru can't see anything suspicious, though. There are no Akatsuki cloaks hanging out to dry, no bloody bodies stacked in front of a particular door. Just people, getting ready for the day. And Shikamaru considers circling around to the back, checking the rooms there. Stupid fucking asshole! A voice shouts, and the blonde careens out of the inn, trips over the edge of the cobblestones, and almost falls flat on his face. Catches himself just in time, then rakes his long hair out of his face, and turns like he's going to march back into the inn, puffed up and furious. There's a laugh, familiar and sharp, and Kiba saunters out the door a moment later, grinning. "Nice morning?" he asks, snickering. The blonde snarls and throws his untied hitayate at Kiba. "Fucking puppy!" he snaps. "Go pee on that shithead's bed and I'll pay you half of my mission cut, Fuck off, Kiba retorts, rolling his eyes, then leans in close and sniffs. Deliberate, Shikamaru thinks. He's making a show of it, since he doesn't actually need to be that close to catch a scent. When he pulls away, his grin is back, and even wider than ever. He done dumped the snake asshole in bed with you. I'm gonna cut his throat and stuff him full of clay, The blonde fists his hands, pure rage written over his face. Shikamaru can't help the shiver of trepidation that washes down his spine, because he's seen Ino wear that exact same look, and it never ends well. If I have to wake up to that shitty Kabuto's fucking face, everyone else has to suffer with me, Kiba laughs, and when the blonde takes a swing at him, he dances back out of reach. Come on, Deidara, he taunts. If you can't even hit me, how the hell are you supposed to take out Hidan? Deidara gives him a dark look, but folds his arms over his chest. If I hit you, Konan will have my guts as Koto strings, he says disgustedly. But that shithead is fair game. And if I get Kabuto too, that's just fucking collateral, Sasori will kill you before Konan manages it. If you do that, Kiba warns, then steps away. I'm going to train. You coming? Deidara levels him with a disbelieving look. It's Dawn, he protests. Then, before Kiba can respond, he waves him off. You idiots and your obsessions with training, you're just like Kurotsuchi. Kiba grins like this is a compliment instead of an insult. And you're lazy, he retorts, ducks the kunai Deidara launches at his head, and picks up a loping run as he heads into the woods. With a muffled curse, Shikamaru follows, skirting the edge of the inn and keeping to the deep trees. Kiba isn't trying to hide his path, and he's using an old deer trail that cuts through the forest and along the edge of a small stream, so he's not hard to track. But Shikamaru isn't used to having to pay attention to the wind, to make sure he keeps to the highest branches so he won't leave a noticeable scent to mark his path. The deer in the Nara forest have good noses, but they're also perfectly tame. And as long as Shikamaru doesn't wander around smelling like blood, they never seem to care. By the time he manages to find where Kiba stopped, Kiba is halfway through a kata, slow and careful to start with. It's a familiar pattern that Shikamaru has seen him use before, basic Inuzuka taijutsu, and it looks strange without Akamaru to copy his movements. To echo him perfectly. Shikamaru pauses, frowning, because it's just odd, almost eerie to see Kiba without his ninken. And Shikamaru knows he left Akamaru behind, has seen the puppy in the village with Shino or Hinata or Naruto. But knowing is one thing, seeing the effect is another entirely, and it's unsettling. As he watches, Kiba shifts, falling out of the first kata and drawing the twin knives sheathed along his thighs. He steps forward into another pattern, but this isn't an Inuzuka kata. It's something entirely different. Uses the knives to the full advantage of their added reach, focuses on skimming cuts. Poison, Kurenai said. Poisoned knives and... odd. Odd that Kiba knows this kata when it's so clearly not an Inuzuka one, when it's designed with the poison knives in mind. The knives Kiba stole from the Shiranui, from Genma. It's a kata that's made for blades and poison and swift footwork, and Shikamaru digs his fingers into the trunk of the tree, trying to even out his breath, trying to think. Kiba sent notes to Genma. Kiba took Genma's knives. Kiba knows a kata that's likely Shiranui clan-specific. Kiba's in the midst of an organization that's specifically intended to hunt down Jinchuriki like Naruto. Kiba was Naruto's friend. Kiba was stupidly, bewilderingly, astonishingly loyal right up until he wasn't. Someone hurt Kiba, and he killed them, and he became a missing nin. And then, months later, he joined a group of missing nin hunting down the Jinchuriki. Opportunity, Shikamaru thinks distantly, distractedly. He breathes and weighs what he knows, and remembers the look on Tsunade's face when she heard that Kiba was dangerous and in league with Akatsuki. Something bright, Shikamaru had recognized, and even time and distance haven't changed his impression. It wasn't a happy expression, but there was something in it that was close. Victory, maybe, or satisfaction. Aoba was telling the truth when he said that Kiba's motivations didn't matter. Shikamaru's heard his father's mutterings about the council enough to know what Utatane and Homura are like. They're perfectly devoted to Danzo, and as an elder, as an advisor, as a highly respected jonin and veteran, Danzo still has a lot of allies. If Kiba ever goes back to Konoha, they're going to demand his death, regardless of his reasons, regardless of anything he's done since. Shikamaru knows that, even as he breathes out, even as he brings his hands up, shapes his fingers into the rat seal, and lets his eyes half close as he concentrates. It's early morning. The sun is only just starting to rise, and right now, the world is more shadow than light. Shikamaru doesn't have enough chakra to touch all of them, but he doesn't need to. What shadows are already in the clearing are more than enough. Half a second of concentration, a surge of intent, and the shadows snap closed like a noose pulling tight. Kiba catches the flicker of movement, half an instant too late. His head snaps up and he turns the low twist of the kata into a high leap, launching himself up and over the first lash of shadow. Shikamaru sees the instant he realizes what's happening, hears the sharp curse as Kiba tries to redirect, but there's no time. He hits the ground in a crouch, tumbles forward, dodges the next two twists of darkness. He's two steps ahead, but not three. The last dodge puts him right in line with Shikamaru's tree, and the shadow surges up, catches his limbs, and pulls tight. And Shikamaru feels the jutsu settle. A sudden awareness of someone else's skin under his control. He breathes out, rising to his feet, and leaps down from the branch, landing lightly right in front of his former friend. Kiba, he says, and doesn't let himself look away. Shock twists Kiba's features, then fury. Shikamaru, he spits back. I thought Deidara killed you. Managed to wiggle out of it, huh? More or less, Shikamaru says lazily, opening his fingers to make Kiba drop the knives, then taking four long steps forward. Kiba copies him, even though Shikamaru can see him fighting the Shadowbind, and he snarls as Shikamaru bends down to carefully pick up his daggers. Keep your damn hands off of those, he snaps. And just for a moment, Shikamaru has to double down on the grip of his shadows to keep Kiba from breaking free. Because they're poisoned? Shikamaru asks dryly. Or because I'm going to give them back to the clan you stole them from? It's a bluff. Shikamaru doesn't want to give them back to Genma. Not really. All he wants is answers. But he can see Kiba's expression twist, the flicker of his eyes to the blades, and then back up. Indecision, some level of panic, and it makes Shikamaru's throat a little tight that he's the one causing it, but there's a bruise shaped like Kiba's forehead spreading between his eyes. He's not feeling that sympathetic. Because they're mine, Kiba snaps. You Konoha assholes keep getting in my way, and I'm tired of it. Shikamaru considers this for a moment, weighing his next words. Naruto keeps crying, he says finally, and has the satisfaction of catching the faintest flicker running through Kiba's eyes. Just an instant, and Shikamaru likely wouldn't catch it if he weren't looking for it. But it's there, just like with Genma, the faintest reaction that's only a tell when someone knows what to look for. Shikamaru files the thought away to consider later, breathes out, and says, Your sister's started taking back-to-back missions, too. My father almost took her off the roster for suicidal tendencies. This time the reaction is easier to see. Almost a flinch, really. And Shikamaru smiles thinly, tips his head as he watches Kiba carefully. "Those new friends of yours seem scary," he allows. "What do they give you?" "An outlet," Kiba says, and it's almost a growl. There's almost fury in his eyes. "Almost, but not quite," Shikamaru thinks. "For how I want to fucking murder every Konoha bastard who comes after me." "And Itachi?" Shikamaru asks. "Even the fact that he killed every Uchiha except for Sasuke and tortured our classmate doesn't matter?" Kiba bares his teeth, and it's nowhere close to a smile. "What?" he says, with a barking laugh. "You think everyone else in that shitty village has their hands clean? Itachi's batshit, but it's not like the rest of Konoha is that much better. Look at fucking Danzo with his root. The Sandaime had to know about that shit." "Probably," Shikamaru agrees. "And he's smart. He's seen bits and pieces of his father's work, of the Anbu missions, of the after effects of what Konoha does. They're a shinobi village. Shikamaru has always known that. Most of the clan kids do." "But that's justification, Kiba. That's not why you left." Kiba's next breath shakes. Anger and fury and bitter, twisted humor. "You want to know, Shikamaru?" he challenges and laughs. "Fuck that. All you want is to lie down and sleep away your problems. But not all of us can do that. Not all of us are born geniuses. Some of us have to fight for a little recognition and a little bit of skill. Not that you'd know what that's like." It stings just a little, especially in light of what Shikamaru's come to realize about himself in the last 24 hours. True, though, and he doesn't let it rattle him. Tips his head in acceptance of the insult and says, "Tell me you wouldn't sleep away your problems if you could." Kiba's mouth twists, angry and derisive, and it's such a strange look on him, so unfamiliar, that Shikamaru almost takes a step back. "Not hardly," he says. "I've got plans, and I'm not going to let anyone get in the way of them. Not you, and not the little brat I used to be. So just..." "Sorry about this," Shikamaru says, though he doesn't fully mean it, and snaps his head back hard. Kiba's eyes widen, but he doesn't even have time to struggle. His skull slams into the tree behind him hard enough to make Shikamaru wince, and he collapses to the ground unconscious. "Ugh," Shikamaru mutters, letting his shadow bind drop, and rubs a hand over his face. "That was not well thought out. Not at all. But he did it, and now he has to figure out what to do next. Aoba might be sympathetic, but he's also the squad leader, and he knows his duties. He'll wrap Kiba up in seals and ninja wire and drag him back to Konoha to be executed. Shikamaru isn't about to let that happen. Not now. Not with so many questions unanswered. But they can't stay here, either, with the inn and the rest of Akatsuki so close. Getting caught by them would mean Shikamaru's death sentence, and he's not overly enthusiastic about the idea." "Damn it. There had to have been a better way to do this. Why didn't he think of it?" Slowly, carefully, Shikamaru lets out a breath, because he saw a chance and took it. Because there was half an instant when he could see something, some sort of connection between the unconnected pieces, and all he wanted was to see if he was right. And since Kiba is the only one who could possibly confirm that, he needs to get the answer from Kiba himself, who likely won't talk if given the choice. "Troublesome," Shikamaru says, and has never meant it more. He stalks forward, crouches down to heave Kiba over his shoulder, and staggers back to his feet, calling up the layout of the area as best as he can remember. There's a valley to the east, below the cliff the inn sits on. But it's full of water and wet earth and tall trees and a lot of things that can cover his passage. It's as good a hiding spot as any. And Shikamaru steels himself, tightens his grip on Kiba, and starts moving. Kiba said the sedative on his knife needs an antidote administered before the victim can wake up. And while Deidara hadn't quite thought he was bragging, Konan would have knocked him on his ass for that kind of shit. He hadn't exactly been convinced. The fact that it's been 12 hours and Kabuto isn't even stirring, though, is a sign in Kiba's favor. Anything? Hidan asks, though he's not paying attention to much more than the poison bomb stolen from Kiba's pack, which he's tossing towards the ceiling like it's a little brat's ball. Deidara rolls his eyes, contemplating flicking a katon jutsu at it and making it explode, but he squashes the impulse. He's in the room, after all, and Kiba's poison has a tendency to spread. Nothing from this asshole, he says, and gives the dick drawn on Kabuto's cheek one last flourish before turning his attention to the mustache and goatee he started. It would be nice if he had other colors, but his only permanent marker is plain black, so he has to make do. And nothing from the puppy, either. Hidan scoffs, and the glass orb taps the ceiling. Who needs that much fucking training? He demands. I'm fucking fantastic, and I don't train nearly as much as he does. Just for fun, Deidara adds a crown of stars to the dick. He's still just a kid, he's gonna say. But before he can, a throat clears from the doorway. He's late, Itachi says quietly. Kiba's normal routine runs for an hour and 35 minutes. It's been 2 hours and 47. That's fucking creepy, Deidara complains. But he caps his pen and rises to his feet. Kabuto's face is mostly covered anyway. And he was getting bored. Do you time all of us like that, creeper? Itachi blinks at him, just once. It's simply knowledge, he says, and Deidara wants to punch him in his stupid, placid face and finally get a reaction from the shitty bastard. It's knowledge that Kiba's late, he snaps. And we need to leave, Sasori wants us back as soon as possible. Itachi pauses for a long moment, and his eyes are perfectly cold, his expression like marble, unmoving. Then we should leave, he says, as if it's just that simple. Fucking finally, Hidan says, and stuffs the bomb into his pocket, rising from the bed. He grabs his scythe and pack, shouldering both, and then grabs Kabuto and hauls him up. It's fucking boring in this place. Let's go. Deidara splutters, caught off guard. Wait, damn it! He snaps. What about the puppy? Perhaps he deserted, Itachi says, flat and uncaring, and turns to leave the room. He is a traitor to Konoha. There is no saying what else he might betray. Maybe he's had too much exposure to Kiba, but Deidara growls, feels indignation and fury in equal measure bubbling up in his chest. Maybe it's the fact that he can't hear one of Itachi's orders without a knee-jerk contrariness surging to the forefront. But he plants his feet, crosses his arms over his chest, and says, Konan will gut us if we come back without the puppy. Hidan makes a loud, rude sound, and damn it, Deidara can't even fucking imagine how twisted his taste has gotten that the asshole ever looked vaguely appealing. Konan's a missing nin, he scoffs, and so's the puppy. He'll find his way back, or she can hunt him down and spank him later. Deidara watches the door swing shut behind them, closes his eyes, breathes out. Kiba's dedicated to his training, but he keeps a schedule. For him to be a full hour over is weird, and Deidara shouldn't care, but he never wanted to be part of Akatsuki. If Itachi hadn't beaten him, he'd have blown them off, gotten the hell out of there, and kept making a living as a mercenary missing nin with a valuable skill set. And sometimes he looks at Kiba, running from his own village, full of fear and fire and determination and hatred, and thinks that they're the same in a way. When Kiba faced down his village yesterday, he'd reacted like Deidara had the first time, pushed down his feelings, buried them, but Deidara could see it. Fuck, Deidara mutters, shoving his hair out of his eyes, tucking it back behind his ears. He hasn't told anyone about Kurotsuchi before, and maybe that's because no one has asked, but Kiba is the first person he's wanted to tell. Akatsuki doesn't invite closeness. They're all bastards of one color or another, all screwed up in the head and out for themselves. And Kiba's been dropped into the middle of that, the same as all the rest of them, but different, too. He's not hard, not the way Pain and Sasori and Kakuzu are. Not quite the same type of cold. Angry, of course, but it's more like Deidara's anger than anything, and that makes Deidara almost like him. Besides, Konan really will kill them if they come back without her puppy. Groaning, because this is fucking stupid and he's doing it anyway, Deidara grabs his pack and Kiba's, then shoves the window open and vaults out, landing in the courtyard just as Itachi and Hidan emerge from the inn. "I'm going after Kiba," he says. "He probably fell asleep or some shit. We'll catch up." Itachi stares at them for a long moment, and Deidara hates his face. He's pretty, and he's strong, and he makes Deidara want to scream and claw and rip and kiss him, but he strangles down the urge and spits. "Got a problem with that fuckface?" There's the faintest change to the slant of Itachi's mouth, almost like consternation. "He has no loyalty," he says quietly. The words make Deidara laugh, sandpaper rough in his throat. "You don't know the first fucking thing about him, or loyalty," he says, because he remembers the woods yesterday, when they were scouting together. Remembers the look on Kiba's face when he said Itachi slaughtered his own clan, and the wary, almost hostile distance he keeps from Itachi at all times. Kiba gets loyalty. Deidara gets it too, especially Kiba's type. Wounded loyalty, maybe, but it's still there. Kiba's still looking for someone to give it to. Who knows? Maybe Deidara still has a thread of that in him, too. Kurotsuchi certainly thought so. "Later, assholes," Deidara says, and turns on his heel. He remembers the direction Kiba disappeared in this morning, and despite what he said to Hidan, he has a sinking feeling that Kiba didn't just pass out somewhere. He'd have come back if he could. They're a team, after all, and Kiba's still stupid enough to believe that means something. Not that Deidara can talk, because he's stomping into a fucking forest after Kiba's lost ass. Apparently, he's fooled himself into believing it means something, too.